this being our Fellowship Sunday, hopefully no one did what our lesson is titled. Have you ever made a dish and forgot to put something in it? I mean, it looks right until you taste it. Then when you taste it, you can immediately tell that something's wrong. There's a missing ingredient in it. In a similar way, our Christian life may look good and right to somebody on the outside, but when they taste it, when they see how we act and think day by day, it becomes clear that something is missing. Now, in Acts chapter 19, we find Paul arriving in the city of Ephesus. And I want to take a close look at this set of scriptures here. While Paul was in Corinth, or while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. Now, Ephesus is the seaport. It is the capital of the area. It's the big city. It's the metropolis. It's the place where everything was happening. So Paul goes there. And when he gets there, he found some disciples. Now, sometimes we read right over that. He found some people who claimed to believe in Messiah Jesus. They had heard about the Messiah. They had heard that he had come. They claimed to believe in him. But when Paul examined them, when he listened to them, when he talked with them, he saw that something was missing. There was an ingredient that was missing in their life. Just like many people today who claim to be following Jesus, but there's something just not right about their life. So Paul asked him, says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They said, look at Paul like he has two heads and said, well, what are you talking about, Paul? No, we didn't even know there was such a thing as the Holy Spirit. Well, they obviously didn't hear the whole story. They didn't know what was going on. So Paul asked them, he said, what baptism did you receive? Well, if you claim to be following Jesus, then something's not right. So what baptism did you receive? Well, we were baptized with John's baptism, they replied. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. Well, yeah, we've heard about Jesus, but we didn't know anything about being baptized into Jesus. So Paul goes on and explains to them the whole story. Now they've got the whole story, and what do? On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So here's some who claim to be Christians, but there was something missing in their life. Paul recognized it. He said, well, what baptism did you have? They said, John's baptism. He said, you don't have the whole story. So he told them what happened. No doubt he told them about Pentecost and Peter preaching on Pentecost in Acts 2:38, where he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we know that if we are a Christian, if we've been baptized, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, the next verse is what causes people to get confused a lot of times. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. They're about 12 men in all. Some people think that's when they got the Holy Spirit. No, they got the Holy Spirit when they were baptized. What's happening here? Well, Paul is giving them miraculous gifts. Miraculous gifts were given by the laying on of an apostle's hands. So Paul lays his hands on them and they get extra gifts from the Spirit. They're able to do two specific things, he says. Speak in tongues and prophesy. Speak in tongues and preach. They're able to do now. And I find that interesting. Why would Paul do that? Why did Paul lay his hands on them and give them these special gifts after they became Christians, true Christians? They're going into the city of Ephesus. Ephesus is a seaport. People from all over the world are coming in there. They speak all different languages. If they're going to teach the gospel, if they're going to teach people about Jesus, they need to speak the languages of all the people coming in. That was something they needed. You see, they didn't have the Bible to open up and show people. And they needed to be able to preach. They needed to have God's word so that they could know what to tell them. So they received these special gifts from the Spirit. Now, if we're a Christian today, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. When we're baptized, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit himself. It's not miraculous abilities like those given by the laying on of the apostles' hands. This is the actual Holy Spirit living in us today to help strengthen us and guide us, as the scriptures indicate. But too many Christians act like those people Paul met, as if he didn't exist, as if I never heard of the Holy Spirit. And so they act and think and look just like everybody else in the world. You can't tell any difference in them. They're doing what the Bible calls grieving the Spirit. You see, we're told that when we repent and are baptized, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But if we don't use him, if we don't acknowledge it, then we're grieving the Spirit. And we're told in Ephesians 4:30 and 31, do not grieve the Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. You see, if we're ignoring this helper that God has given us, then we're still going to have bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander, and our life is going to be defined by envy of others because we're neglecting the helper that God has given us. He wants to help us deal with the problems of this life. But if we neglect what he gives us, if we say, I'm going to deal with it on my own, we're going to have all kinds of problems. Another thing we might be doing is quenching the Spirit. And if you do that, if you turn off God's Spirit in your life, it's going to show. There's going to be a missing ingredient. People are going to look at your life and say, you're a Christian? How come that's still happening? How come you're still having that problem? There's something missing in your life. There was a teacher in a young student Bible class who decided to try to teach about the Trinity. And she decided the way I'm going to do it is to have the students say, I believe in God the Father, I believe in Jesus the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And she assigned one student to say each thing. So the next Sunday, the students came in and she said, let's go over our memory verses. And the first little boy said, I believe in God the Father. The next one said, I believe in Jesus the Son. And then there was silence. And everybody looked around. Finally, one of the students spoke up and said, the little boy who believes in the Holy Spirit isn't here today. You know, that's the problem with many people that we have today. We believe in God, we believe in Jesus, but when it comes to the Holy Spirit, I'm not so sure about that. When a Christian tries to live without the Spirit's help, two different things occur. One is that you're going to wander around in the Scriptures. If you don't know where you're going, you're going to end up lost because we as humans can't see the whole of life. Things that happen to us don't always make sense to us. Most of the time, we aren't sure where we're going or what our goal is, so we're not sure when we get there. If you don't follow what the Scriptures say, if you don't have the Spirit guiding you, you're going to just wander from place to place. You're going to read this scripture and say, I wonder what that means. And this one, how does that apply? And it just doesn't make sense to you all the time. That's why Jesus told the disciples he would send them a helper in John 16:13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So how does the Holy Spirit guide us? Well, he guided the apostles. The apostles wrote it down for us in the scriptures. We have the scriptures. So how does the Holy Spirit guide us? Well, it guides us through the word. 2 Timothy 3:15-17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You're looking for an answer to a problem? You're looking for what God wants you to do? It's in his word. We have to find it. We have to study his word. We have to examine it. We have to read it. We have to think about it. But it's in there. And it comes from God. And it's useful for anything that we need it for. You see, the Bible is our guidebook. It's our roadmap, if you will. It's our roadmap for dealing with life situations. But some people only use a map for emergencies. You know, when they're lost, then they pull the map out and try to figure it out. But if you're wise, you're going to look at the map before you go and figure things out before decision time comes. One who refuses to follow the path laid out in the Bible is just going to wander around through life, unsure of why they're here or what they're supposed to do or why God put them in this situation at this time. A second way the Holy Spirit works is through circumstances. In the things that happen, we can see the hand of God if we look deeply enough at it. You ever have something happen to you and you look back and you say, at the time you didn't understand why, God, why did you let this happen? What's going on here? I don't understand. And then after time passes, you look back and say, yeah, I see why that happened. I understand it now. It makes sense now. At the time it didn't. But God knows what's going on, and though He brings about circumstances in our life so that His will be carried out. We can see doors of opportunity opening for us. As Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has a plan for us. We need to learn to trust Him and trust His plan. The third thing the Holy Spirit does to guide us is through the common sense of God's Word. In Acts 15, the leaders of the church come together. A problem has come up. Gentiles are coming into the church and the Jewish Christians are saying, you know, you Gentiles, if you want to be true Christians and right with God, you need to follow the Old Testament laws. You need to follow the laws of Moses. You need to be circumcised. You need to keep all the commandments in the old law. And such a disagreement came up that they had a council about it in Jerusalem. In Acts 15, verse 28, here's the summary of the council. Here's what they decided. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you beyond anything beyond the following requirements. You abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. He didn't say you got to follow the Old Testament laws. He said, you Gentiles who are becoming Christians, here's a few things that are common sense that you need to do. But that's all. You're saved the same way everyone else is, by faith and trust and obedience to Jesus Christ. And notice it said this was decided by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides through common sense. Now, what do we mean by common sense? Look at the things that they're told to do. Abstain from food sacrificed to idols. What he's saying is keep your life pure. If people see you eating food sacrificed to idols, they're going to think you worship idols. And they're going to get the wrong idea. So don't do that. Don't give people the wrong idea. Just make sense, common sense. And then abstain from blood and from the meat of strangled animals. Those two go together because when you strangle an animal, the blood's still in the animal. We know that blood carries all kinds of diseases and problems. And so he says, keep your body pure by avoiding these things, common sense things. And then he says, and from sexual immorality, keep your morality pure. Again, so that when people look at your life, they see that you're different. They see that you're unique. They see that God has made a difference in your life. So the Holy Spirit guides us through the Word, through the circumstances that God brings into our life, through the common sense of God's Word and the instructions that He gives. And sometimes He works by closing doors. Do you ever have something all figured out? I'm going to do this. Here's what's going to happen. And it doesn't happen that way. God changes things on you. Sometimes God prevents us from doing what we had intended because He has something else in mind for us. You see, Paul was going through following the red line there on his missionary journey. He gets over into the area of Phrygia there and he's planning to go north into Bithynia. He has it all laid out. Here's my plan. I'm going to keep going north. And God says, nope, not going to let you go there. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. God said, no, I got something else in mind. And Paul gets a vision of a man of Macedonia saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. You see, sometimes God says, you had that planned? No, I got something better for you. I got another plan for you. That makes people upset oftentimes. Well, God, I had this all figured out what I was going to do, but you sent me in this other way. Are we willing to be guided by the Lord? Or are we so stiff and unwavering that we can't hear the message that he's trying to get to us? Another way the Holy Spirit guides us is through those who teach God's word. You see, Paul is on the road to Damascus. He's hit by a light from heaven. And he says, who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. What shall I do? Acts 22:10. Get up, the Lord said, and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all you're assigned to do. Jesus didn't tell him what to do. Jesus said, go into Damascus and I'll send somebody to tell you what you need to do. Sometimes the Holy Spirit works by sending somebody to tell us what we need to do. And notice what Paul is told to do. Acts 22:11. My companions led me by the hand into Damascus because of the brilliance of the light that blinded me. A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. At that very moment, I was able to see him. Then he said, the God of your fathers has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be a witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. Now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. You see, God used, through the Holy Spirit, through Ananias, telling Saul what to do. Sometimes God works through people. Telling us what we need to do. Telling us what God has said. Sixth, sometimes the Holy Spirit guides us through the preaching of the word. 1 Corinthians 1:21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Some people say, that's foolishness. Preaching is foolishness to talk to people. People don't want to listen to you. Well, that's what God chose. That's the way God chose to get his message out. That's why we're here today, so that his message can be heard. To some people, preaching is foolishness, but it's exactly what God has chosen to make his word known. You see, if you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit to guide you through God's word, through the opportunities prepared for you, through the guidance of leaders using God's word. But if we ignore the Spirit or quench it or neglect God's teachings, then there's a missing ingredient in your life. And if you're missing the help of the Holy Spirit, the result is going to be wandering around. Trying to live a Christian without the help of this Holy Spirit lives to wandering without a clear direction or purpose in life. Because things just don't taste right to them. I don't know, God, I don't know what you want me to do because everything I try doesn't work out. Well, you're not letting the Holy Spirit guide you. You're not asking for his help. You're trying to do it all and figure it out all on your own. And that's why it doesn't taste right. So you wander around. Something's missing in your life. Another thing that living without the Holy Spirit does is it leads to weakness. Paul writes to the Romans in Romans 12:1-2, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. This involves the Spirit. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You see, we need a new attitude of mind. We need to transform our mind. You ever try to make a resolution? New Year's, a lot of people do, but sometimes, you know, when summer starts, oh, I'm going to get into this outfit or that outfit. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to do that. And we make a resolution and it lasts about as long as it takes to make it. Because very often we try to do it on our own. We say, I'm going to be strong enough and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And we fall flat on our face because we're not as strong as we think we are. But God hasn't said, transform your own self. He said, transform yourself by the renewing of your mind. And he said, offer your bodies to God. This is your spiritual service. He will allow his spirit to help you change. That's the purpose of the spirit. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. You understand it because the spirit is helping you. So how do we know that the spirit's helping us, that our mind is getting transformed? Look at Ephesians 3. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. You're going to feel different inside. Things are going to make more sense to you. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with to the measure of all the fullness of God. When you start understanding what God did for you, when you start understanding the sacrifice that Jesus made and what it really means, your mind is being transformed. You're beginning to understand. Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope through the power of the Spirit. When your mind is being transformed, you have hope. All kind of crazy stuff may be going on around you, but you're not going to get caught up in it. You're not going to say, I give up, I quit. You're going to keep on going because you have hope. Because you can see beyond this life, because the Spirit is guiding you. And 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. The Holy Spirit supplies not just what to do, but the power to do it, the power to carry it out. But you see, if we don't let the Spirit work in our lives, if we say, I'm going to do it all myself, I'm going to pull myself up by my own bootstraps. If we quench the Spirit by ignoring him or by grieving him or by going against the words of Scripture, we know what he says, but I just don't want to do that. Then we're going to become weak and complacent. We're going to feel like we've done all that's required if we drag ourselves to worship for an hour a week. There's no pang of guilt or sorrow if we fail to do what we know we ought to do. Never open our Bibles to study it. And if we do happen to hear it preached, well, a preacher's talking to somebody else. He's not talking to me. They never apply it in their own minds. Listen to the words of Hebrews 10, verse 25. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. If we deliberately keep on sinning, after we receive a knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left. What's he talking about if we deliberately keep on sinning? Look at the context. What's it talking about? If we give up the meeting together, if we say, I don't need to study the Bible. I don't need to know what it says. You know, an hour a week is fine. That's plenty. That's all I need. I don't have to worry about Bible study, or I don't have to worry about these Zoom meetings or anything like that. I don't need that. We're in dangerous territory. These words mean nothing to someone who doesn't understand. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? If we neglect what God has given us, we're saying, I don't want it, God. I don't care that Jesus died on the cross. Wow. You're insulting the Spirit of grace. You're trampling on the grace of God. You're trampling on the Holy Spirit. You see, if we don't understand God's word, it's not going to mean anything to us. And people who read verses like that, they don't mean anything to them. If they do read, if they do get it, sometimes they get angry. Sometimes they get mad. You can't tell me that. But we need the Spirit to give us an accurate perception of what's going on in our life, the events of this life, and the power to live it as we should day by day. That's the job of the Holy Spirit, to help us make it through the things that we have to deal with day by day. You see, in John 14, Verse 16 and 17, Jesus said, I will ask the Father and he'll give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. So if God has this helper available to us, if God said, I have the Holy Spirit available to you, I want to give it to you to help you live the way you need to live. How do we get it? How do we get the Holy Spirit to live in us? Well, we must believe in Jesus. Jesus said in John 6:29, the work of God is this, to believe in the one that he sent. And when we say believe, we don't just mean, yeah, I accept Jesus is God's son. It means you actually obey what he says. Belief means obedience. You see, James 2 says, you believe there's one God, great, even the demons believe that and shudder. Demons going to be saved? Of course not. Just believing, just saying, I know there's a God, that's not what he's talking about here. He's saying actually obeying it. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You have to want to do what God wants you to do. That's what belief is. And if you have belief, then you're going to repent of your sins. Acts 3:19, repent then and turn to God so your sins might be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. You see, we need to repent because you can't fill a glass that's full of dirt with clean water. It won't work. You can't fill a life full of unrepented sin with the Holy Spirit. It's like trying to fill a glass full of dirt with water. It just doesn't work. You have to repent of those sins. You have to get rid of those sins. And then the Holy Spirit can fill you. You must confess your faith in him. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And you must be baptized to gain the forgiveness of sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Again in Acts 2:37-39, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But it wasn't just for them. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. See, it wasn't just something for back then. That's God's plan for all times. That's how we get the Holy Spirit in our lives. Is there a missing ingredient in your life? Will you let the Holy Spirit work to help you figure out what he wants you to do? What the scriptures mean, how they apply to you? To help you understand what God has done for you? Will you let him take a part in your life? Or you're going to have the missing ingredient. Is there something missing? Do you need to be baptized to gain the forgiveness of sins? Do you need to ask the prayers of your brothers and sisters to let the Holy Spirit work in your life again? If you've been sort of putting it off and trying to do it all yourself. Do you need to make that decision this morning as we stand together and sing our invitation song?